WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So back in the bad old days, fathers and mothers were stuck in their gender stereotype roles, and Dr. Spock was the single authority on child rearing. Now there's choice, at least to some degree, about who stays home with the kids and plenty of experts to choose from. Except with all those choices, you might just choose wrong or worry that you did or worry that your mother thinks you did. Is that the reason the bad parent column at Babbel.com is the parenting website's most popular? Rufus Griscom is the founder of Babbel. They've just published a compilation of bad parent columns called Dirt is Good for You, True Stories of Surviving Parenthood, in actual old-fashioned book form. And he comes back to the show to talk about bad parents. Welcome, Rufus Griscom.
Thank you.
The introduction to the book says, these days, every parenting choice is loaded with fear. Are there some biggest ones? Are there some ones that people post the most about?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that was extraordinary to me becoming a parent 4 years ago was discovering that there are almost more taboos around parenting than there are around sex or any other subject. And there's a long series of things that you can't you learn very quickly that you can't say. You can't say, I wanted a girl, but I got a boy instead. You can't say, I had a voluntary C-section. You'll get, accosted. You can't say, I didn't fall head over heels in love with my baby the first second he or she was handed to me. And so we set out when we launched the Babbel website to get a series of parents to write very honestly about this. And as you say, the bad parent sort of confessional stories were the most popular thing on the site. And that became this book.
And some of the other essays that appear in the book, Mama's Boys, Am I Spoiling My Sons? You Made Cereal for Dinner, How I Came to Resent My Stay-at-Home Husband and How He Got Over It. Driven to It, I Breastfed in a Moving Vehicle. And In Praise of C-Sections, one that you mentioned, Why I Had a Scheduled Cesarean. Anybody want to call with their own bad parenting confessions that maybe actually make you a good parent by articulating them? And is that why you do it? Because there actually is some utility in articulating things like, I didn't fall head over heels in love with my baby the first time I saw her?
I do think there's therapy in the collective. I mean, it's interesting. Every one of these pieces we post and then we get, dozens and dozens, sometimes hundreds of comments. And in the comments, there tend to be battles, I can't believe you breastfed in a moving car. You should be incarcerated. And then a whole other set of people saying, hey, take it easy. This was an extreme situation. The baby was crying. They were bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I think in all the discussions and comments, there is therapy. I think parents are stressed out. There are a lot of conflicting opinions today about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Rufus Griscom, author of Dirt is Good for You, True Stories of Surviving Parenthood. What's the Dirt is Good for You?
Well, we played with a lot of different titles, and I think the idea behind it is that I think the central thrust of the book is it's okay to relax a little more. Kids are not so fragile that you do one thing wrong and they fall apart. And it's harkening back to the old days when you'd say, hey, let the kids run around in the yard. They eat a little sand on the beach, or they, eat a little dirt, and it's not the end of the world. It's part of how they learn. If you're imperfect as a parent, that's probably part of your child becoming a realistic and full human being.
Have you ever not published an essay and called Child Protective Services instead?
We've definitely turned down a lot of submissions because the truth is, when you read this book and you read all these stories, very frequently the response is, oh, well, this parent isn't that bad. And invariably in every comment, in every piece, somebody says, this shouldn't be in the bad parent column because this is really a good parent who, you know, had a humbling moment. To which we say, of course. I mean, we're actually not going to publish anything that we think is genuinely, you know, horrible. It's really human parenting.
Patty in Hackettstown, you're on WNYC. Hey, Patty, thanks for calling.
Hi, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, I am pregnant with my third son, and ever since my first, although I did breastfeed both of my first, I hated the experience, and I had glimmers of moments where it was sweet and special and we were bonding, but I felt so guilty both times that I just found it to be such a chore, and it was so difficult and so time-consuming, and there was really very little support out there. Everyone I asked about it would say, oh, no, it's wonderful, you should keep doing it and don't quit, and it was just not the most pleasant experience I've had.
Rufus, I have a feeling this is not the first time you've heard this.
Breastfeeding is probably very close to the number one most controversial thing on Babbel.com, and there's very passionate feelings in both directions, and I'm not at all surprised you had that experience. We actually have, believe it or not, on page 92 of the book, there's a story called "The Not So Happy Accident." I wasn't totally happy. I turned up pregnant a third time, and about not loving pregnancy, which is a little different from your experience. There's also people talking about the breastfeeding, and I think, you know, there's a very kind of almost excessively passionate pro-breastfeeding movement out there that I think can make a lot of moms feel very bad about themselves, and we think it's a little extreme.
Patty, thank you. And I think Sheila in Newark might have even had it worse than you. Yes, Sheila?
I was turned into La Leche League.
You were turned in to the La Leche League.
Unbelievable.
What do you mean?
I was, it was my third baby, and I realized that I breastfed all of my children without any bottles or pacifiers, so I'm really into breastfeeding. That was not a problem. But with this third baby, I realized if I supplemented in the very beginning, then I would not have all the soreness, I could get a little bit of sleep, and I could still do what I need to do, but calmly.
And who turned you in?
A neighbor came over to visit and realized that that's what I was doing and called La Leche League, and they called me to find out what was wrong with me.
They called you.
And did I need any help? Did I know what I was doing?
How did that make you feel? Did you feel supported or did you feel intruded upon?
I didn't care. This is my third kid. I didn't care.
You knew what you were doing. All right, Sheila, thank you very much. George in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing? I was really ambivalent as a parent, and I still am, and it's been 10 years. And my friends who were parents, I would never tell this to because I just think they would judge me on it. I mean, I think I get along fine with my kid, and things are going great. In fact, I think my wife is having more of a problem with it than I am at this point, which is really ironic.
What does ambivalent mean? How does that express itself in your inner life?
Well, I wasn't planning on having children. My wife decided that she really needed to do that, so we did that. And, you know, it's been really a difficult road, but, you know, we're doing it, and it's working fine, but it's, you know, it's been really hard. And, to tell the truth, I could have done without it, and I don't think I'd ever say that to anybody who's got kids because of that.
Yeah, that's probably the number one on the list of taboos. But I think your experience is not uncommon. I mean, we published a piece early on about happiness in parenting. In the book Stumbling on Happiness, there's a graph of four different happiness studies, and on average, most people's happiness actually goes down after they have kids. It reaches its lowest point. I hate to give you the bad news, if your kid is 10, when your child hits adolescence, and then returns to previous heights when kids go to college. Now, I think there's another part to the story. There are obviously a lot of people who, you know, I think in many ways we get too good at being happy before having kids because we sort of figure out how to, you know, not take risks. And you have more extreme highs and extreme lows generally, parents do. So I think there's some silver lining there. But I think it's something people don't talk about. And our view is, you know, That's exactly the kind of thing we like to talk about.
And George, thank you for your honesty and, frankly, your courage in articulating that. Let's just hope your kid is not a WNYC listener, right?
Yeah, he's in school. He's
okay,
fine.
George, thanks a lot. And I think we have an actual Dirt is Good for You story here from Bobby in West Caldwell. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? How are you doing, Rufus?
Great, thank you.
So what did you do?
What did I do? This is what everybody does. I guarantee you, if people don't admit this, they're lying. Food on the floor. I got three kids, ages 8, 3, and 18 months. Stuff happens. Cheese, piece of cheese falls on the floor, this, that. Everyone applies this three-second rule. And I think recently on one of the talk shows, there was someone that said that the amount of bacteria that actually gets on a piece of food is just enormous if it hits the floor. But
It was here.
And I'm sure every parent out there does this. Something falls on the floor, you pick it up, give it right back to the kid. I've never heard of anything bad happening because of this. I know in my head it should be bad, but let's face facts. You know, you don't want a kid to waste the food. It falls on the floor, you pick it up, and you put it right back in their mouth.
The two parent imperatives, don't eat food off the floor and don't waste any food, colliding head on.
Yeah, it's a conundrum. So you know what? Everybody does it.
Bobby, thank you very much.
And there are those out there who would say that there's value in building immunity. You know, that the increase in allergies is partly a result of kids being more sequestered and not being exposed to things, apparently. So.
Not from eating food off the subway floor. Okay,
probably
that was
not.
The dining room floor, building immunity. A lot of writers are weighing in on their bad parenting these days. Novelist Michael Chabon and his wife, Ayelet Waldman, just each wrote books about raising their kids. I haven't read either. I should really read the two and see if they tell the same stories in the same way. Her book is called Bad Mother, A Chronicle of Maternal Crimes, Minor Calamities, and Occasional Moments of Grace. Is this generational because of Facebook? Why do you think this is happening?
I think what's happened is in the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a professionalization of parenthood. I think people have, you know, more women have been working. They've taken the sort of the high expectations and professionalism of the workplace and brought it home. And there's almost a competitive parenting sensibility that's caused a lot of parents to feel bad about their performance as parents. You almost feel like you should get a quarterly performance review or something. And because of that, I think you see there's a lot of therapy in people, you know, explaining, you know, confessing ways in which they're imperfect.
Babbel has an essay up right now called The Cult of the Bad Mother. When everyone's a bad parent, is anyone?
That's a fair point. And I think that is the point, really, which is that, you know, I think probably this is one of the best generations of parents. Dads are actually spending more time at home with their kids than they used to 20, 30, 40 years ago. I think this generation of parents is probably we're harder on ourselves, but I think we're great parents by and large.
Deanna in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deanna.
Hi there. My point is that a lot of times as a parent, you feel that you have so much to live up to. When I was pregnant with my daughter, it was a wonderful experience, and I had this complete idea that I was going to have natural childbirth and I was going to breastfeed. And then in my eighth month, everything kind of fell apart when I developed preeclampsia. I was hospitalized. It ended up being a C-section, and I had to be put on hypertensive medication. And I didn't want to breastfeed because I was scared that the medication would be passed through to the baby, and the lactation counselor kept on that it was just so minuscule the amount that she would get that it really wouldn't hurt her. This woman actually called me a week later at home to find out if I was breastfeeding and then chastised me for not doing it.
So there, and we're going to have to leave it there because we're running out of time. But Rufus, it starts even before there's a baby in the house.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, even with pregnancy and all the, you know, eating fish and, you know, what you can and can't eat, it's a tough road.
Any quick comment on the Times article yesterday that a lot of people saw about parents who yell at their kids? It used to be that spanking was controversial. Now that's completely off the table. And it's controversial even to yell at your kids.
You know, my mother emailed me that article, and we wrote about it on Babbel, but I haven't yet read it. But I do think there's this sense that the acceptable behavior is getting more and more and more constricted. And yeah, even raising your voice or anything is considered bad parenting.
Which is part of why Rufus Griscom founded Babbel.com and the Bad Parent column there. Now a collection of bad parent columns that have sparked a lot of conversation and candor. Dirt is Good for You, True Stories of Surviving Parenthood. The book is called. Rufus, thank you very much. We could go on and on like this for days, judging from our phone, so we'll have to have you back.
Great, great. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And if you like that interview, you're in luck. Rufus Griscom will be joining us each Thursday in January to dig a little deeper into some of these parenting issues. So be sure to tune in Thursdays on The Brian Lehrer Show.